Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week we're talking about Stardew Valley, the board game, and we'll probably talk about the video game at least a little.
Probably.
It's going to be really hard not to. It's like trying to talk about Horizon, Evil Dead, or any of those other crossovers that we're starting to get Dark Souls. You just can't not talk about their video game.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong.
One of us could just like arbitrarily choose to be like dedicatedly not going like, to talk about the video game, maybe, but it probably wouldn't help.
Well, I've never played the video game, so...
That really surprises me. It's very much up your
alley. Isn't it like only on Switch?
No.
Oh.
It's on
like everything.
Oh, when I was first looking for it, it was like... Like, you have to have a Nintendo Switch to play it. And I was like, I don't have a Nintendo Switch, so I'm not going to buy it.
I'm pretty sure it was on Steam originally.
Well, I also didn't have Steam at the time.
That might be the thing that...
Because
yeah,
until, like, literally 2 months ago, I didn't have a computer that could run games on Steam.
Sure.
I don't know if it's on PlayStation, but I know for a fact it's on Xbox.
It's not on PlayStation.
Are you looking for a sink of hundreds of hours of your life?
Always.
Then...
Stardew Valley is your game.
Yeah. It's like The Sims, but like writ large, small, in this like you make a farm and you're literally just a farmer who is also going into town and creating relationships and giving people gifts and cultivating.
I kind of describe it like Minecraft, Harvest Moon.
Yes.
Oh, what's the other one?
Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing kind of had a
Terraforma.
Weird baby.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Very much
or
so.
Terraria.
But like
Terraria,
much crunchier.
Like, much crunchier.
And like you have to like plan your time out every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you get
I don't know if that's
you have
my
a day and night
then.
Cycle, you have X amount of hours to work through the day, and I think it's like 10 o'clock, your character will literally just pass out wherever you're at.
2 AM?
Is it 2 AM?
I think it's 2 AM.
It's been a minute since I've played.
Oh,
I've been meaning to
game.
I meant to get back onto it and start playing, because I don't think I've actually managed to get through a whole year. Every time I'm like, okay, yeah, we're doing really good. Some new game comes out, I get sidetracked, and then I come back and I'm like, oh, I don't remember anything. I guess it's time to start a new farm.
There is a point where it's just repetitive.
Yeah.
Like the whole day. Like every day is the same until you get a certain amount of money. But I've had friends who've played like the same save file for like 5 or 6 years, and their farms are insane.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I saw someone with a 10-year farm.
Insane.
And I was like, that's
insane.
I don't know if it would be like really up my alley. Like,
it would be because of the fact that you get to choose what kind of farming you want to do. I think
that's fair.
Is that
but
it's
like
to start with, you have to plant and grow. But I think the last time I started with a certain style setup, which is one of the things I was kind of hoping that we're going to get if they do expansions for this board
like
game,
a beach
actually.
Or something instead of like the regular farm.
Yeah. And in the video game, there are different farmhouses that you can get. And so I think that'd be a great expansion opportunity for them of changing things up.
I like games with like actual storyline.
There is one.
It's a bit more of like the backbone of the game is kind of like this storyline. Like the original premise is your grandpa dies and leaves you the farm, right? So basically there's like this shrine on the farm that is your grandfather's shrine, pretty much. And over time, like, his ghost, like, leaves letters. And then, like, the townsfolk are weird and have wacky crap going on in the background. That's interesting. There is a storyline to it. It's very loose.
Well, and then there's the evil JoJo company, which is, like, the Walmart or Amazon of the world that's trying to, like...
Constantly.
Okay, but see, I want Dragon Age main character story kind of stuff. Like, that's the kind of story arcs I like. It's, like, actual, like, really in-depth... Maybe not world-saving, but world-saving.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not like you as the main character, but your party members. Like, their storylines is what you kind of follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't think I'd like it, and I really liked it. Okay. So it is one of those things where, like, I feel like once you... playing with people, too, is a whole different experience. Like, you can all play together and have your own farm and work on the farm separately.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
So the long-form goal of the game, kind of, is to fill up the, like, the museum, like, the local museum,
the community center,
with the different, like, there's little exhibits that you're filling out with different things that you can collect and gather and grow and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the artifacts that we saw yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I think
bringing it all together. I think that's where the game kind of picks up the thread of like the gameplay elements for the board game and brings them into that. So, but I didn't play with you guys. I did see you guys playing, and I hope you had fun. But
it was really cute. Drew and I got to sit down and we played a season and a half.
A base season and a half. Because we didn't leave in any of our festival cards. Because they were like, hey, if you want to make this look like you're really trying to do your first one, use all the ones with the... What are the apple guys called? I forget.
Junimos?
Junimos, yeah. Use the Junimos cards only. And we were like, okay, we'll do that. And I think our season and a half took us an hour and 15.
Well, the setup took a bit.
But you got back before 6.
Yeah.
So, like, we were done setting up by 6, before 6.
We started a little after 6.
But either way, it's still, our season and a half took us almost an hour, which was nutty.
But we were also learning. I feel like if we had played it a few times, it would take not that long.
That's fair.
It was really cute. It was, the setup for the game is very overwhelming to me. It's a book. We were talking, you know,
it's
last time.
It's only 23 pages.
It's only 23 pages, but it's like a magazine-sized book.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all words. There's pictures, but there's a lot of words in there.
There was a lot of dead space in between sections, too. Like, they didn't...
That's fair.
It wasn't like Dark Souls or Gloomhaven, coming where it off is a the, wall of text.
Coming off the coattails of Century.
front back.
There was a lot of rules. And I don't play a ton of games that require that much setup. I
wish I played less games that required that much setup.
I'm a very quick, like, my whole family is very into, like, really fast games that you can just set up, play, and put away.
Yeah, which are great for family occasions.
And so those are the games that traditionally I've grown up playing. And so anytime somebody brings out a game that's like, this is going to take 15 to 20 minutes to set up. I'm like, oh, this is like a game. This is like something that we're going to devote 4 hours to, isn't it? Yep. Oh, man, that's terrifying.
And think I was like a good halfway through setup by the time you got back.
I know. I was like, jeez.
That is one thing about games like that, though, is like if you're not playing with the right people, you're losing pieces in the first playthrough. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're tiny little like cardboard-ish like pieces, right?
Yeah, they're like maybe 1-inch square.
Yeah, scattered all over the place. So by the end of the game, I imagine that people are losing pieces.
I would love to get a chance to sit down again and play a full game.
Yeah.
Like an actual like 2 or 3 hour long game, I think would be really fun, just to really see how all the seasons work and the different things that you can get for the seasons. I'd love to do a festival or two, like that'd be fun.
Do they have festivals?
Yeah,
they have like, festival cards.
Have you played Stardew Valley?
I have dabbled.
Okay,
I started my own farm. I got to one festival, and I fished for my ex as often as they could get me to fish for them. So,
even just dabbling a little bit, they have like the fishing festival right off the bat.
Yeah,
then they've got the egg festival in the spring season, and they've put those in their little bonuses.
Like, festivals are great. No wonder this game is like one of our best-selling games. Like period of time that we had it, it sold faster than like any game we've like almost ever had.
I'm getting it.
I also really love that it's cooperative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a game that size of that complexity could easily do competitive.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, spirit of the game, everybody works together.
I don't even know how they would make it competitive.
I was going to say, in the video game, there is one where you can get a, like, four corners house, and it's meant to play with everybody.
Yeah.
But everybody's still working on the same farm land.
Yeah.
So I could see
them doing something similar to what they have, but having two farms or three farms, or everybody has their own farm and you're all working to complete your goals first kind of thing. I could see that as a competitive game. Yeah. I like that it's not.
Yeah, it's definitely like heavily based on the game of like the gameplay itself. Because like the community center is like you're just contributing to make that a thing again.
Yeah.
So like
let's talk about the community center.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish up, but
no,
don't
that's
let's
pretty much
make sure to come
say.
Back to that community center.
Yeah.
I have a problem with it in the video or in the on the board game.
Okay.
In the video game, you go out, you get X things, you turn them into the community center.
Yeah.
Done. Move on with your life. Have fun. In the board game, you have to make a friend or multiple friends, depending on if you have multiple people playing or not. And then you have to go to the community center and pay to unlock them with friendship hearts. And okay. then you have to complete whatever they tell you to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
That to me is a little excessive, yeah. seeing how that's one of like your completion goals.
Sure.
And also, I'm sure if you went through a whole season, like eventually it would have to happen, but being able to level up your mine by only finding, like, by only rolling this one square seemed real weird to me.
We also got a really bad square, because if I had had it anywhere else with my upgraded pickaxe, I could have possibly pushed it into that. But yeah, we got a bad map.
Here's why I think the friendship thing kind of makes sense, because I mean, how else, like, is in the board game setting are you going to force yourself to like get to know the villagers? But also, villagers, that's not what I meant, but
they are
townsfolk.
The deck is called villagers. Is it?
Yeah, the deck is called villagers.
Okay, weird. Okay. So like in the game specifically, when you get certain items, there's sometimes you could just go buy them from some of the townspeople.
Yeah.
Like Marnie, for example, owns one of the main farms in the game. And you could, like, buy certain things from her and give them to the community center. But, like, that is a little excessive, but I could kind of see, like, why they're doing it. Because how else are you going to, like, get to know the people within the game without just being like, I want to go talk to this person.
And it is a pretty important part of the video game. Mm-hmm. So, like, to not have that in the game would be a bit of a misstep. So maybe trying to ham-fist it into the one spot where they could think of to put it in was better
than
nothing.
It is a little weird that you have to, like, pay to put stuff in the community center, though. Because, like, the community center is, like, the main part of the game.
Well, so that's the thing is you have to also choose to go to town and make a friend. Okay. And when you make that friend, or when you go to take that action, you flip the villager card over, hope that you have something they like to gain a heart, or they just disappear for forever. You never get to see that person ever again. They're gone for the rest of the game. And so it's just one of those weird, like, you have to hope to have the right kind of things in your inventory.
Instead of even being like, oh, we'll give you, like, one round to maybe find, like, oh, hey, you just met this person and they really like mushrooms, but you don't have a mushroom. So, like, you get one round to go find a mushroom to give to them or something. I don't know.
Exactly. Something of that sort like, hey, this is the current villager you're trying to befriend, you know, and then you can try to get what you need to get over there. But if you just have to rotate through those. It's a thick stack, but at the same time...
It makes it more luck than anything at that point to have the right thing at the right time, which is unfortunate.
And, like, there's already so much chance with how the fishing works, with how the mining works.
Man, if you're good at fishing, you're good at fishing.
Hey, I don't disagree, but everything is essentially a 3-die roll. Either rolling 3 of the Stardew dice or you're rolling 3 of the animal dice.
That's fair.
And it's just one of those things where there's enough luck mechanic already in it.
I just still have a latently inflated ego about how pretty good at fishing I was at Stardew Valley.
That game is hard to fish in. It was so hard,
but I was really good at it. Like, I was
one of my favorite things to do in the game.
Was great. Anyways,
it makes you so much money so quick. That's why I always pick the Riverlands. That's why I was like, I really wanted to play on the Riverlands and see if it adds in like
the farm with the creek through it.
Then you can do like if they did a different boards, because then you could do fishing at your house for river fishing instead of having it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Kind of free up other spots.
Does the video game have those stupid penalty cards?
The Jojobart cards? No, it doesn't.
The
Joja
Company
bothers me too.
They're just like the evil corporation that exists in
it
the world.
It is based off of Walmart.
Then again, I've never gotten far enough. So in the board game, we flipped one of our, I think it was our second to last?
Yeah, it was our second to
last. It was our last season card. Hey, your season's over. But we flipped one and it has a little Joja thing and we're like, okay. And then you go to a stack and pull a Joja card up and it's just a penalty. Like, okay, you can't go lake fishing anymore without paying 5 gold.
No. Heart. It was, you can't go lake fishing unless you get rid of this. Like, you have to pay to remove the fine completely.
Yeah, we had to, like, pay for a permit and things like that. Like,
it was so dumb.
Within the game, there is, like, an ending in the game where if, like, you get a membership from Jojamart and, like, support the corporation where, like, the entire town goes to crap.
Oh, wow.
So, I think that
the darkest timeline.
Yeah, yes, it is the darkest timeline.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
It's actually really sad. Like, the people hate you pretty much by the end of it. Yeah, because there's, like, a local town's person who, like, owns a shop that sells you seeds and all that, Pierre.
Yeah.
But, like, if you the Jojimar is like the evil corporation that like takes over this small town and ruins everything. And so I think that it's an interesting add-on, but it also doesn't really make any sense. Because like Jojimar doesn't really do anything if you don't go there.
And that's the thing is that you specifically... Well, and so this is where I would actually be really okay with these penalty cards, is if I could pay Jojimar to do one of my things.
Sure.
Because that's kind of how you progress down the Jojimar line, is instead of building, like, supporting everybody and building it yourself, essentially, you can make enough money, walk into Jojimar and be like, give me that thing. And they'll be like, okay, here, that thing's fixed now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can pay your way through it, but that's how they get their foothold farther and farther in.
Gotcha.
And so that would make more sense to me of these Joja things, if I could come up and be like, you know what? I don't want to worry about making friends this game. Here, Jojimar, here's 20 gold. Take care of my friendship goal from my grandpa.
Hold on, 20 like, gold and my soul.
Yeah, well, that was bad. Hey, pay Jojimar 10 gold, and every round you get to draw a random lake fish.
Yeah, something. Like, if there was something where it was paying them to do this thing.
But then you know by the end of the game that you will have already lost.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
You win, but at what cost?
But yeah, it's just kind of this random Jojimar event that happens. Yeah, and they're just weird. Like, here's something to have Jojimar prevent you from doing something because you hate yourself.
It's like the store just walking in and being like, screw you.
Yeah.
And leaving.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's really weird. Like, I get that Jojimar's a very important part about Stardew Valley. That's kind of the nice thing about it. Everything has its importance to it. But you can also, like, I don't know, play Stardew Valley without Jojimar.
Absolutely.
Like, I've never dealt with Joja other than them being like, hey, go find this person, they work at Jojimar. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'll run in there to talk to them, and then I leave.
So I'm like kind of morbidly curious. Not morbidly curious, that's a weird way to say that. There's a couple of like weird tangential things you can do in Stardew Valley. Like, there's like the weird desert that you can go out to, and then there's the dungeon that you can delve.
Yes.
Do they have either of those things
not
in there?
The desert, but the dungeon.
They do have the dungeon?
Yeah, the mines are the dungeon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the mine's the dungeon, just like in the actual game.
Okay.
The dungeon and the mine are one. It starts out far more miney to start with. Like, that was one of the cooler things about this one was, on the first floor, if I got the skull and crossbones, which is supposed to like represent your enemy, this is your bad thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You still just got stone. And that's just a basic building block that you're going to need anyway.
Okay.
And so it was, you know, and that's kind of how it is in the actual mine. Your first couple levels are just you hanging out.
Right.
Mining rocks and maybe getting a little copper. And then the next one was like a slime where it was like, okay, now we're going to get into you lose things or you do this or you do that kind of a stuff.
So. I mean, and that in the video game becomes like an endurance test eventually where you're just trying to get as deep as you can, as fast as you can, because you're going to run out of time and have to go to bed.
Or 70 is the farthest I've gotten. Mm. Whichever one has...
In the game?
Yeah.
Oh.
I got deep into it. I'm a really big fan
I've gotten to like 111 or something like that.
There's also, within the desert, there's more. There's mines everywhere, and they're terrifying.
Are they really?
Yes. So there's, not to talk too much about the video
game. No,
it's fine.
We're here.
In the desert, there's an entire dungeon with like terrifying serpent monsters that are just out to kill you. So like,
I didn't even find that.
No,
yet.
Yeah, there is. Oh, there's man. An entire
I really
doorway.
Do need to sit down and put in the time.
Yeah, so there's like some weird spiritual crap going on in Stardew Valley all the time. And within the desert, there is like a dungeon that like has like a skull and crossbones on the doorway going into it. Man. So like in the board game, I saw some of the cards were related to. Oh gosh, I just lost my train of thought.
The desert, and the skull and crossbones, and
it was staircases.
Okay,
because you could just drop staircases in the mines and go down them.
Right.
So like
in
that specific dungeon, you're supposed to get like 300 staircases and just go because you're gonna die. You're not gonna make it.
Yeah.
So like that's the cheating way. Because I think even if you do that, there's like a guy at the end of it who's like, "Damn, you cheated." So, but I thought that was interesting that they had those things too, because you could kind of just like, if you get that card, you're like, "Great, I'm going down another level in the mines and I'm gonna get more stuff."
Yeah.
So.
That's delightful.
There's a lot of dungeons with some really creepy monsters in that game.
I'd be really interested to see if they come out with expansions later where they're like, yeah, ooh, and we're adding on the desert, or like, oh, we're adding at the river.
And that's why I haven't been discouraging anybody talking about the game. I'm like, these are all wonderful add-ons that they could very easily throw out to give us more to do, or changing up the mining deck and things like that to help keep it fresh for us later.
Fun fact for everybody at home, Stardew Valley is secretly Dark Souls.
It is hard.
Yeah,
it's so hard.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, see, now you're doing the opposite of selling me on it.
But, like, you only have to want to go to that place you want to.
Yeah, no,
it's only Dark Souls if you want it.
Exactly,
there is some great stuff in there. There is actually another mine that goes, like, there's an area called a quarry that's in the main game and, like, the main area you're at, and there's a whole other mine there, too.
Is there really?
Yeah, it's not huge, but there is more stuff there.
Huh,
so they're crazy. Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and that's... I really enjoyed almost everything about the board game. It very much felt like the video game. Other than the, like... I think that you should get maybe 3 actions versus 2. Because right now it's... You get to move to... To start your day, you get to go wherever you want.
Sure.
As your first move.
Cool.
You can be like, okay, I want to go fishing, and that can be as many lane jumps as it needs to be.
Sure.
But from there, you can move one lane and take one more action or 2 actions at the place you're at. And the optimum way to go is to do an action where you're at, move, and then do an action, because in that move transaction, you get a free forage.
Okay.
As long as there's a forage tile,
As long as there's a forage tile on either side of it. And so that's a little bit more of that optimal. But even then, with just Hannah and I playing, it felt like we didn't have enough turns to actually
do anything. Yeah, because like, especially if you went to the mine to get anything, the only thing you could really do was either then immediately go fishing or go to like the community center. Like you couldn't jump anywhere else.
I don't know, guys. This sounds exactly like the video game.
if you want to do so. More time is the thing.
You always want to do more in the video game than you ever
time
have
goes
actual
by so
time
quick.
To get to it, do. I mean, that
it does,
from my experience.
But I can go fishing, talk to Pierre, and water my plants for the day.
Sure.
And that's just me by myself. That's
I mean, eventually you can't, though. Having... That's why people get sprinklers and all that stuff.
Well, and that's not even including the... I mean, my own watering can. Like, I can plant a crop of 50 fish and visit Pierre all in one day very easily with time to spare.
Yeah.
I can't do that many actions in the game.
That's fine.
I'm limited to 2 of those actions. I can go fishing, or I can water my crops.
Yeah,
or I
that can
go visit, or, you know, or visit Pierre. I've got to
Is there
choose.
A, like a set number of turns that the game takes place over?
About 16.
Oh, okay. That tracks. Okay, so is that like one
4
season?
4 cards per season, and then there's 4 seasons.
Okay.
And then at the end of every... This is another bit. This is a cool bit, because it is continuing with that theme of the video game, but at the end of every season, you take all the forageables off the table and put new forageables down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the new season. And I said, makes sense for the game, but it's an extra like step that I think is a little...
Chuggy.
I can see how that would feel like almost like a truncated experience where it's like it's not like as fleshed out as it could be, kind of a thing. But I guess there's always.
But
I was
going
to say, we might get another playthrough and that's not as bad because
be.
One, we only had the 4 base cards versus having the festival cards as well, which would have brought it up to like 6 events. Or it might be you roll an event and the event might even tell you to pull the next card as well. I don't know. Like I said, we didn't play with the festivals.
Yeah. I feel like if we had played with like the full seasons with like 8 or 9 cards, that it would feel a little less chunky because we would have had a lot more chance to forage most of the stuff on the board.
Yeah.
Like by the end of that, because we had a total of, you know, we had 4 turns, so a total of 8 foraging options.
Yeah.
That didn't even clear out all of the foraging cards.
No,
there were still so many left on the board because we didn't do foraging on every single turn either.
Yeah, I had to do. I did a bunch of mining because I was trying to get us to the next bit so that I could get us into. Everybody also gets their own special profession proficiency. Whether it's, I don't like the term foraging. It's farming.
Mm-hmm.
It's farming. It's not foraging. It's farming.
There's a different one for farming though.
Yeah, I know, but it's I don't like that one.
I think we mentioned this yesterday. In the game itself, the foraging is different than, like, in the video game.
Yeah.
Like, the board game on foraging, you get, like, the hoe rather than, like, an axe. Because, like, in foraging in Stardew Valley, you're just, like, cutting down trees and picking up items.
And there is upgrades in the foraging deck that gives you, like, more opportunity for, like, foraging wood. And I think if you get into the foraging deck a little more, you can forage like twice on a turn instead of once on a turn. Like there's stuff, but it's not until you upgrade or get those extra foraging cards. So it's kind of like you start out and it's like, oh, you can plant an extra crop. I'm like, that's not foraging.
That's farming.
That's farming.
I am curious to see what winter is like in the board game, because in the game itself, it is painstaking sometimes because you just can't do much.
And then we had a crow that stole one of our potatoes.
Yeah, that happens in the game too.
I don't like that.
It's mean.
Dang crows.
So they don't even give us a scarecrow. Spent my hard-earned
money.
Like, we can't make a scarecrow card.
A potato?
Like, that's the thing.
That's from happening. That's lame.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that if I could, like, spend in one of my two actions.
I wonder if in the farming tree,
There's a scarecrow.
Maybe. Well, in the game, the first goal is to make a scarecrow.
In the building deck, I wonder if there's a scarecrow.
There might be. We didn't quite peek through that.
No. Like, it would make sense, because then you could just be like, no, the crows can't get my stuff, because I have a scarecrow.
Unless you have a scarecrow, yeah.
Like, meh.
So, yeah.
I don't know. We didn't look through all. There's so many pieces. There's so many pieces. We didn't even get to any of the, like, the little... Like, we only got the gold out of the little pile of stuff. There's so much stuff in that box.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try to take it home one more time and bring it back Tuesday, just so that I have it just for my weekend. But Monday's normally, like, my family day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to spend a good chunk of that, and I'm going to try to get the fam to sit down and play a full
Don't let the boy eat any of the pieces.
The boy isn't allowed near any of the board games. Klaus.
The cat, Klaus. He's called the boy.
That's fair.
I'm 90% sure most of my stream audience just think that that's his name.
The boy.
The boy. He'll hop in my lap. Hello, boy. What do you want? But I had an absolute blast with
it. It was so perfect.
With it. I am very excited to, like, get into the nitty gritty of actually getting through a full season and stuff and seeing what that actually gives. We didn't trigger
like half of the cards that were on the table. Like, there was so much stuff for the setup that we didn't even get around to getting to look at.
And maybe we were supposed to. I also just realized, like, after we finished up, that perhaps we should have taken control of two characters each. For the fact that we were playing.
Yeah, I think that would have probably been...
Yeah, because that would have given us our full set of...
Skills.
Yeah. It would have given us our full amount of turns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did see that you can actually play it solitaire, which is delightful because it, you know, in essence is a single player video game.
Yeah.
Like, at its heart, at least.
And that's what I was like, oh, we might have been able... Should have done that. Because that's, I'm pretty sure, what they suggest for solo play is just use all the tools yourself.
Gotcha.
And then use your own meeples, essentially. And it lets you run around a little bit more.
It almost makes it like a worker placement game.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was listening to those wonderful guys, the guys that you and I listen to all the time. Sit down and shut up.
Oh, yeah.
I love those guys. Shout out to those guys. Go watch them. They do some great stuff, too.
Okay. Really quick shout out. They have a... If you're new to RPG video that they just put out yesterday, that is one of the best, like, hey, if you're green and don't know what you're doing, but you want to play D&D or something like it.
Yeah.
It was so good. Like, and they're just such a positive force for, like, encouraging board game, like, whatever, advocating for board game playing and gaming in general. So anyways.
I like that they're pretty positive towards almost all of the, like, everything that they review they're pretty positive towards. And even when they're not, they're being... schmarmy and snarky and not just like mean about it negative.
Yeah.
They're like,
for sure.
If you know, that my favorite one is, if you like to sit down for 4 hours and beat your face against the concrete wall, Dune is for you. Well, I do like half of those things.
They're blunt, honest, and kind of delightful. Like, and I think that's like,
and they're just, yeah.
Like, it's blunt and honest and similar, but,
That's exactly what they said, was that this fact, when you play it solo player, it becomes a worker placement.
Gotcha.
And they were cool.
And that would have opened up a lot of more, like, I feel like we would have tried to make friends.
Yeah.
Because before it was like, oh, we only have a total of 4 actions per turn, and we need to water the plants, but we also need to get stuff to make money, but we also need to get wood. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we had, you know, even 2 more turns, we could have been like, hey, why don't we make friends?
Yeah, why don't we load up? And that's the thing, is that at the end of every day, like, you've taken all your actions and stuff, you meet back at, you go back to the house, and you can trade shit.
They didn't tell you guys you're supposed to make friends along the way.
No.
No.
No. No. You,
that probably is why
you
would grow
a bunch of crap, and then you send one guy out to make farm friends.
You would pick the player with the highest charisma to go make friends. That's how you play.
It's true.
Canonically.
It would have been beneficial to play 2 characters, I think, because then you would have gotten way more turns and the game would have been a lot easier.
Yeah. And I could see 3 being like, everybody picks one and then have your most experienced player
do the extra one. Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a thing where it's like, okay, cool, I can handle taking both because I've played 12 hours of this board game. You know, I can handle playing 2 or whatever.
Well, and I don't think it would have been honestly hard to do 2.
Mm.
Like, it really wouldn't have been...
No.
At all. I will say, as overwhelmingly complicated as the game looks when you set it up, the actual play...
Stupid easy.
Is really straightforward. Like, obviously we had to consult the rule book a lot because we were like, what does this symbol mean? Because everything's done in symbols. What does this symbol mean?
Well, I didn't read through all of the booklet knowing that I was going to be able to pop off of iconography.
Well, I think that that's also a good... I never read all the way through rules. I will skim rules, but I learn best by doing things learning things as I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So for me, like, having that is important. But even then, it is. It's super easy. Your turn is 2 turns. You have 2 actions on your turn. What are you going to do? You can go to these places. You can go to these places. And each of these places have an action you can do.
Yep.
What do you want? That wouldn't have been very hard to bump up to 4 actions a turn.
Yeah.
The hardest part was selecting the upgrades.
That was. I was really bummed because I didn't get a chance to fix or to use my upgrade.
I didn't get a chance to use mine either.
If you discard or you defeat whatever enemy you're on and then can move 2 spaces.
Oh.
And I was like, cool. So I could have been able to leave if I had gotten this. Like, I just needed to land within like anywhere. Should be able to get out.
And I got the one that's like, you put 3 gold on this card and you can spend 1 action on your turn to just collect the 3 gold.
Okay.
It's the syrup. It's the maple bin.
The what?
The maple tub. Maple bin. The spigot.
Oh, the tap?
For the tree.
Oh, the tree tap. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's for syrup. It makes the maple.
Sap. Yeah. And so you just have like a
what
little...
What do you think syrup's made
of? I know, but it's just syrup bucket thing.
That's what it is. It's a syrup bucket. But yeah, it's also... Its real name is a tap.
And I was like,
but yeah,
oh,
it's
yeah.
a tap. So like you don't put 3 of your gold into
I
it.
I see.
You put 3 gold onto it. And
then eventually you just take it back. Yeah,
and
yeah.
if I had had 4 actions every turn, I could have just raked in money. The whole, like every single turn, I could have been like, and I'm spending 1 turn collecting that money.
Which is funny because that's the first item that I've seen in the entire board game that's more useful in the board game than in the actual game.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever actually gotten a bucket of sap.
Well, you get sap from cutting down trees, but like the sap out of the tap. The only reason I ever did it was because you need it for the community center.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, you don't get anything from it. Well, there are recipes that call for like maple syrup and other things.
But can't you just cut down a tree and take sap and make maple syrup out of it?
I don't think you can. I think you have to tap it.
I hate that.
Because I have like 4 or 5 trees on my island that are just specific to the tap. Like, I don't touch them. They are only tapped.
How long have you been playing your longest farm?
Oh, not actually not very long. I think I got into Stardew Valley in like 2020 during COVID.
Okay.
My friends and I started playing a game, and eventually I was like staying up till 4 a.m. playing my own farm.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have on my farm about 200 hours logged in, which I don't feel like is that long for true Stardew Valley people.
How many years in game is that, though?
I think I'm 3 years.
Okay.
But I'm not, I still haven't finished the community center yet.
200 hours is only 3 years in the game?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The time feels like it goes by fast. I think every day is 24 minutes to 30 minutes, somewhere in there.
But it's like only a month a season though, right?
Yeah, like, but it's like 25-30 days per season. Right. So like, and then there's events that go on in between that, and then you're focusing on like marrying people and all that crap.
It's like the Feywild.
I'm just going to be like, no, I'm good.
Calendars don't really matter.
No more.
Hey,
no
time
more
is
romance.
Made up.
Time is, I mean, in the game, they matter because your crops will die if you don't like pay attention or plant them.
I mean, but that's just like crops, though.
Just build sprinklers.
But that's the money, Hannah. The money. I had friends who would make millions of dollars every day.
Money's not everything. Jeff Bezos.
It is. Jeff Bezos.
I want automated sprinklers. I don't want to fill my sprinklers every day.
I will try and find a
on my last playthrough, I finally got sprinklers for like the first time.
Oh my god, those are life-changing.
Like, yeah, they only water four squares. Yeah,
unless you get iridium ones.
Yeah, that's my point though. Is I was like, yeah, this is awesome, and then I poured water into it, and it went bloop. And I was
It's not really worth it.
I can do more than this
myself. You have to plan your plots around the sprinklers once you get them.
Nah, forget that. I'm just upgrading my watering can so that I can do three or four at once.
But at the end of the game, it takes so much time to water your plants if you're doing it that way.
By then I should have iridium sprinklers, and then I can plot out myself around that.
I'm just listening, and I'm like, man... This is like Minecraft, except I play Minecraft on creative mode, where I can just create
do whatever you want.
And that's what this pretty much is you get to go around and forage for some things, you build the farm you want.
Except it's not, because creative mode, I can just open my inventory and get literally any block I want for anything. I can plant an entire field of crops in creative mode and go, yeah, I did that. Those are my crops. I didn't have to do anything. Aren't they great? I can spawn 500 ducks.
You do have to buy your ducks in Stardew Valley.
You can also raise dinosaurs.
What? In Stardew Valley?
Yeah. There are you can get eggs for dinosaurs. You can raise slime. You can raise
I knew about that one.
The slime raising I didn't know about too.
Okay. I'm gonna go buy Stardew Valley and I'm gonna make Jurassic Park. That's all I'm gonna do.
They're like tiny, they're like the size of the ducks. But yeah.
I don't care. They will attack people. Did you see the little... I mean, you've watched Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Those little guys killed a guy.
Oh, true. Yeah.
They ate that kid. The little dinosaurs ate my baby.
I mean, it was kind of a monumental feat of the people who made the board game to try and jam all of Stardew Valley into a single
board game. They did a pretty good job.
They did good for what they were trying. I just don't think they needed to jam all of it.
Sure.
Get out of here,
that
Jojo
could have
Mark.
Been an expansion pack. Jojo Mark could have been a part of an expansion map.
Yeah.
Jojo Mark could have just not been included.
But it's such a big part of the video game.
If there is a villain of the story,
it's them. So it would have been kind of cool to be like, to have an event card or something where it's like you get approached by a Jojo Mark rep. And then if you, like, they're offering you X, and if you accept it, then you pull a Jojo Mart card from the Jojo Mart deck, and that's your consequence. That's
or you could give it to someone else to be like, I know, that's more of a competitive thing, I guess, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, because you said in the game, if you side with Jojo Mart, it slowly makes the town awful. It's the downfall of civilization.
It is.
Capitalism is the real villain once again.
It is, though. It is the villain of the game.
It really is.
but that would make sense then, because you're like, oh yeah, I'll take this 20 gold from Jojo Mart. Sure, sounds great, but now nobody can fish in the pond.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that would hurt your reputation.
Pond has been filled with sludge.
Yeah.
All the fish are dead.
You know, or, oh, now it costs money to go to the mines, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. That would kind of make sense, because then you're making the town worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By accepting their hand.
By accepting, to make a deal with the devil. Don't laugh at me.
All right. Anybody's last minute thoughts, questions, concerns? Oh, by the way, we have an AMA out there.
Like, yeah.
It's constantly up. Go ask us some questions.
Yeah.
Pester us. Especially this one. We diverted a lot. Back and forth between these two formats for this game.
I got an AMA up on our Twitter feed. If you want to search through our Twitter feed, I can repost it. It's up on Patreon.
Pin it.
If you follow us on Patreon, I should pin it. I'll pin it on Twitter. You can find it easily. It's also pinned on our Facebook page if you follow us on Facebook. So,
yes.
Or, you know, media. Hey, if you just want to drop us a comment under this episode, that's also fine. We'd love to hear what you have to say and answer your questions as best we can.
Before we end things, who is your guys' go-to to marry in the game? And I will judge you based on your answer.
Piper.
Okay.
So, like I mentioned earlier, I helped out, but I only ever got my own farm a few months into the game, and I didn't make it that far. I'm sorry.
That's the best part, is marrying and then, then like, ruining their lives. I'm just kidding. But
hey, but the option is there.
Yeah, it is.
You have to save Piper from her... From her terrible, awful mom.
Are you talking about Penny?
Yes. God
Penny.
Damn.
Yeah, no, Penny, it's been Penny a minute. Is a gem. No, Penny is a gem. It's a good choice.
You gotta say Penny. And, I mean...
Who's yours?
It's the emo boy. It's Sebastian.
Oh, nice.
I love Sebastian.
Good.
Well, I love emo boys, so you would love there Sebastian. We go. Sebastian.
He rides a motorcycle. He's so
cool. Oh, he's hardcore. Yeah. He's a bad boy. I could change him.
I know what his favorite song is.
With that thought,
yes,
we're gonna catch you folks next time.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.